Certain extent, greetings to all this morning. I've really been blessed already this morning. I just count the privilege that we can gather together in this way. You know, I know we pay mind to where we have our services, and this place was available when we wanted to begin here, and we're looking forward to a more permanent place. And yet, who is the church? What is the church? It's not the building. It's you and I. It's the brotherhood. And church, we always keep that in mind. I'd like to speak this morning on a subject that I've entitled Supporting a Scriptural Church. If we go to Psalm 137, I'll not read there, but as you read that passage, that psalm, the psalmist reflects the sad days of the captivity of Israel, the Jews there in Babylon. And they said to him, "Sing us a song of Zion." And they said, "How can we in a strange land?" Their harps were hung upon the willows, and they just were in no mood to sing there in captivity. Their focus and their heart was back at Jerusalem. That was the place where God had chosen to be with them. But because of their sin, because of their wanderings from the God, God saw fit to allow them to go into captivity for some time. And, you know, now look at the church today, likewise. Jesus Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ, stands as a central point of attraction for the saint of God. Now, if that word scares you this morning, we're just not used to using it as much, but we're saints. If we're not saints, then what are we? You're either a saint or a sinner. And so we're saints. And for the saint of God, the Church of Jesus Christ stands, I say, as a central point of attraction. Today, our abilities, our activities, our affections, our desires, our goals need to be centered in proper order around the church. We believe in and support the church because we know it's God's method of saving people and keeping them saved. There's no other organization on the face of the earth that carries that kind of calling or responsibility. But I believe there's a word of caution for us always in the fact that we would not look at our congregation, our church group, and focus in at the organization that is an organism. The church is living, but yet there's a certain amount of organization, and we have seen the past, and there's probably, it's happening yet today, where people, they start to center in and think more of the organization of the group than the head of the church, Jesus Christ. And finally, if one does that, you get yourself into trouble because our focus needs to continually be on the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church. There in that discourse, Jesus was speaking to his closest, his disciples that day. He was examining them. He was asking them who men thought that he was. And they give various answers. But then he zeroed right in on his 12 apostles, his 12 disciples, and said, "But whom say ye that I am?" And of course, I can imagine them standing there a little bit, maybe stunned a little bit by that question. And then Peter, he pipes up. Seemed like Peter was always the spokesman somewhat for the group. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." course, Jesus told him that flesh and blood didn't give him that answer. But he went on to tell Peter, went on to tell the group that upon this rock, or upon this confession of me, I will build my church. Notice the little two-letter word, my. It's not our church this morning, friends. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his kingdom that we're a part of. And so, coming back to the thought of a church group, it's part, you know, we're part of a church group, and that's right, and it's good. And yet, I believe there's been folks that have focused that much on the group, when the group started to drift away from the truth, away from scriptures, people just drifted with it. And soon they're gone. You know, they're out in the world and they have a name, but they have lost out to the scriptural principles that need to be adhered to and lived by. That's the danger that we can face as well. And I know we're aware of these things, but just bringing them as reminders to us in this way. We can only follow a group as that group has its focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and biblical principles to be lived by. That's the only safe way to follow a group. We live in perilous times, and I need not say that. My wife just read a book, and I was around occasionally and listened to her read parts of it. It's a book we discovered we had there. It belongs to our daughter, our oldest daughter, and yet she read it. And it was on some Jewish people that were involved in World War II when Hitler took over Holland. These people were citizens of Holland, and it didn't take long till Germany started bombing Holland, and Holland surrendered, and they come under German occupation, and they hid for a while, and they made out for a while, but finally they were arrested, they were caught, and taken to prison, the horrible conditions that they went through there. And we say, well, we can't hardly imagine that kind of thing happening in our day. But I believe history can repeat itself. And there could be distressing times, perilous times, more so coming our way. We don't know. That's not to scare us, but simply to call us to the fact that we need to continue to be students of the Word, search the Word, and be living a life that we need to live so that if that time comes, we can stand the test. There were many, as the story brought out, there were those people of Holland that yielded and gave in and joined the enemy ranks. And then when the war was over, they wanted to come home, and they were resisted very strongly. You know, we can't skip out on the Lord in time of trial and then want to come back. Now, it's possible the Lord can forgive and he does restore. We know that. But yet it's a dangerous place. We need to remain strong in the Lord. The answer for us today is in the Word of God. Is Isaiah 26:4 says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Forever, everlasting, eternally. We're not dealing with somebody that next week's going to go on vacation and we have no one to depend on. The Lord is ever there for us. Trust ye in the Lord forever. The reason we can trust in him forever is that he is everlasting. He is eternal. For he has said, Hebrews 13, latter part of verse 5 says, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, the Apostle Paul said something to this effect. I don't have the exact words, but in 1 Corinthians 11, 1, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Again, I'll say people have went down into apostasy because of not continuing to focus upon truth, biblical practices, and so forth. I want to give some values now that a scriptural church that has been following the truth of God can have, what we can have. And as we follow Christ, the principles of God's word, we can come to trust under the shelter, under his wings. What is it? Psalm 91 says, it's a favorite of mine. I can't get it now. I'll turn to it here just quickly. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. There is a burden on my heart this morning for us, our church group. It's that burden that our churches need to continue to preach and teach the doctrines of God's word. You say, well, you know, this has been a part of us for how many years, but we can't leave off because Satan is ready to steal away truth from us, especially the two doctrines of the word, nonconformity and separation from an ungodly world, and the doctrine of non-resistance. I'm fully convinced that groups that drift into apostasy first start in this area of lack of teaching and preaching, and then finally conviction goes and then practice. There might be the other way around. I'm not sure how that is in your mind, but we need to continue. It's not only those are two main doctrines, and yet there's others that we need to continue to hold to as truth. And as we would go out and we're a witness and a testimony individually, or as we go out as a group in the outreach work, remember Matthew 28, the Great Commission involves also that of teaching all things. Let's not be apologetic for the way for our plain dress and so forth. It's part of our life. It should be a part of our lifestyle. The thing of avoiding the casual dress and the ungodly dress of the world, it's all a part of our faith and practice. We don't need to apologize. If we only knew how much the world appreciates seeing modest clad people. They may not say it, but I know they do. We just see it so much. The laundromat next to us started there about a year ago, I guess, or a little more, I don't know. But anyhow, they come in there and you got to look the other way. Women dressed in an ungodly way, or undressed, I'm not sure how you say it, but the influences are all around us. Well, I'd like to look at eight areas now in which we believe in supporting a scriptural church, and I don't have them in importance, but we support the church because it has a proper influence and effect upon our life. You know, coming here and fellowshipping with those of like faith, it's a blessing. It's an influence upon us that we can be faithful. It encourages us to be faithful when we see those who are faithful. And I know this isn't just confined to our little group here, but I believe our first line of support needs to be to our own congregation. When we see an individual start to isolate themselves from the church and the church activities and so forth, it isn't long till, you know, they cease to be challenged in their way of life, and eventually they become cold and dead spiritually. We need each other. There's just no way about it. We need each other. Hebrews 10:24 and the first part of verse 25, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. As I said, we're living in perilous times, and it's good that we can be accountable to each other as a brotherhood. It's a good thing. We support the church, secondly, because of the spiritual nourishment it supplies for us. Personal Bible study is reading and study is necessary. It's good and it's right. And yet, the spiritual-minded person will see a continual need for spiritual nourishment on a group basis. I believe that. There's nothing that will replace group interaction. It just will not. And this needs filled through regular attendance and participation in local congregation service, special meetings, and so forth. Again, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking assembling ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I need to ask myself this morning, and I asked you, for what reason did you come this morning? Well, I was scheduled to preach, but you know, what reason did I come otherwise? A need for spiritual fellowship and teaching and preaching of the word, the Sunday school hour and so forth, or because it would look bad if I didn't come? Well, I have the confidence that it's the first thing I mentioned here, but we need to keep that up. You know, pity the person that the only reason they come to the church service is so it looks good on their part. They're really missing the main blessing of being there. And I trust it never get that way for us. Church activities should not get the back seat. Now, I know there's exceptions. There's times when we're away visiting other congregations. There's times that there's sickness and so forth. But supporting the local congregation. Thirdly, we support the church because it supplies our social needs. Now, I don't want to limit our social life to just only around church activities. There's times when we can get together and we can do things aside from the church-sponsored activities. And yet, remember this. We are a part of a brotherhood. And if we go away, we go on an outing, vacation, whatever we do, we take the church with us. We're part of a congregation. We have a congregation, a brotherhood that's depending on us. To be what we ought to be in all things. And so, I think of our young people. Young people is very much a part and very much needed in a congregation. And young people, I just want to encourage you to be faithful. You're very much a needed part. The group of the church that we're thinking about having services at, it seems to me that's what's happened there. The older people got older and older. Young people didn't come in. I don't know. I didn't talk to anyone to that extent, but I do know there's churches that has happened that just, I talk to an older gentleman I take fuel to on a regular basis each winter, and I said, Charles, I said, what's happened? He's talking about his church there. And I said, what? I said, you don't have young people? No, he said, we don't. He said, and we're getting older. You know, eventually, that church is going to close its doors, that church building. And so we're glad for young people. Young people's needed. So I think there's many churches today as that way the youth are just not interested. Unless there's a big program or something going on, you know, the youth just aren't there. But young people, again, the activities, and older ones as well, aside from church-related activities, can be constructive, such as social get-togethers, but they need to be limited for proper spiritual development of our youth, and they need to be under parental supervision, as our decrees would outline. Parents, you need to help your young people see the value of church-related activities. We need to help them see the value of fellowship that is available in our worship service, after the worship service, in our church circles. Too much social activity outside church-related functions will not build and strengthen our youth spiritually. Now, I want to qualify that. It will not prepare them to face the world of sin that they'll need to face if the Lord tarries. And I'll qualify that. Youth that have been allowed a large amount of social activity that only gives vent to the flesh will hardly be the youth that will strengthen the spiritual fiber of the church. I say that graciously, but I throw that out as a warning. Many congregations, and it's not just not Mennonite, but many congregations, I believe, across our land today have gotten to that place, a little more than social organizations, because the spiritual was not maintained as a focus. Whether we're young or old this morning, friends, we cannot feed the flesh and reap spirituality. It just doesn't work that way. I'd like to turn to 1 Timothy 4 and read that passage here. And I realize when we're reading this was written to a young man, a young Timothy. He was a minister. And yet I believe it can be for all of us. 1 Timothy 4, starting in verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach, that no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity and spirit, in faith and purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by prophecy, which with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Timothy was a young minister there. But you know, our church is looking, our church congregation, our church group is looking at two ordinations, Lord willing. Calvary here in June for a minister ordination, and here for our congregation for a deacon in July, if the Lord tarries. We have been blessed over the years of calling brethren from our own group to fill the place of leadership. Young people, you might not think about it today, but someday the Lord may call you to the ministry. And so we take these words of Timothy here. Bodily exercise profiteth little. It doesn't say it doesn't profit at all, but it puts the main focus upon the spiritual. Paul is bringing that out. He says, let no man despise thy youth or look down upon young people. But, he says, be an example in conversation, in word, in conversation, charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And that's the challenge that faces our young people today, I believe. And it faces us all. 1 Corinthians 12:25, there shall be no schism in the body, but that the members shall have the same care one for another. Like I said, from young to old, we're all needed. We support the church because it helps us to see and avoid dangers. That's the fifth area or fourth area I have. There's times in our life that we're spared from things that would have ensnared us because some concerned brother or sister talked to us. They maybe prayed with us. They helped us see through issues more clearly. They give us encouragement. You know, no one of us by ourselves is able to see all the wrong trends and new devices that Satan would bring our way. That comes back to the point of needing each other. It calls for us to rely upon the brotherhood and in a combined effort to keep the church pure and our own life free of sin. When a sincere brother or sister or the ministry, one of the ministry comes to you and points out an area in your life that may need some changes, correction, don't be offended. Don't be offended. Give it sincere consideration and then thank them. And that's hard for the flesh to do. We all live in the flesh. But we need to appreciate if someone is sincere enough to come to us and point out an area where we need help. That's being in the brotherhood. That's part of being a part of the brotherhood that we support. We support the church because it provides the means to keep Christ's commandments and ordinances. Apostle Paul there in 1 Corinthians 11 again, the second verse says, he said, I thank you. And he said, I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I have delivered them unto you. A lot of people today want to cast that aside, Paul's writings, they're not quite so important. So therefore they can do away with the prayer, the head veil, the veiling and whatever else, this Paul's teachings. But you know what? A lot of them don't adhere to what Jesus preached either. And so the Bible is to be believed from one cover to the other. And we support, I have a problem seeing how a person can obey the scriptures without being a part and keep the ordinances without being part of a visible body of Christ. I just can't see it happening. He might say, these can be kept without the church, but I haven't seen it done. Maybe it is, but you see, even an individual to go out here on his own, if someone is brought to Christ and baptized under what? Well, you say the Church of Jesus Christ, but it's such a blessing that we can be baptized into a body of believers and keep, it's a means of keeping the ordinance. We really cannot fulfill the Great Commission, Matthew 28, without being part of the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, I could be challenged on that, but yet I see that as we would go out and we teach all things. Number six, we support the church because it provides a good environment for our children. And I know some of these points are rather close, but the home is a haven for children. And the church is made up of homes, and one supports the other. And we support the Church of Jesus Christ because it's fitting. It's a good environment, and it's a good way to bring up our children. Our faithful support of Christian Day School. Faithful attendance here again in worship service. I already mentioned that, but I'll mention again. Visiting in each other's home, taking part with our family in church functions such as singing at old folks' homes and other outreach efforts. I was just blessed. I'm going to say this. I don't want to give over praise or pat people on the back necessarily, but I was blessed 2 weeks ago when we went down here to Arbor Gate. I think it was 2 weeks ago, and y'all took your children along, and they were well behaved. And I've had quite a bit of experience. I mean, over the years in involving myself with nursing homes, singing and having services at nursing homes. And there's one thing that always stood out to me. The old people just love to see children. I'm not too sure they don't like that just as much or more than the singing. And 2 weeks ago, the children were well behaved, and it's a real testimony, brethren. And when we can go there with our families and sing and give testimony of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it doesn't take you much observation to look around at the world and see how their children behave or misbehave or undisciplined and so forth. And so continue to involve your families with these type of things. You just never know the far reaching out, the effects that this will have. Our support for the church will be manifest itself in the way we live. Let's not be a liability to the church. And I know this morning I have the confidence that we're not that, but the church has no use for leeches. You know what a leech is? It just kind of hangs on and gets life from another life. Let's be up and doing our part. And I'm blessed. I know that this is happening. Let's be anticipating what we can do for the church to strengthen her, to maintain her witness and testimony by the life we live, consistent life. It's not what the church can do for me necessarily. It's not all what it can do for me, but what can I do for the church? Maybe some are here old enough. I'm not sure. But I remember back when President John F. Kennedy was in office, and he made a statement to this effect, that I don't have the exact words, it's been so long, but it's not what your country can do for you, but what can you do for your country? And the principle is the same. We carry it across into the church. Yes, we receive benefit from one another, but then what can I give in return for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ? Somehow we need to feel an indebtedness to the church to maintain godliness in a world of ungodliness. May we see her as a real fortress, as a real bulwark, and believe in it. May we be anxiously awaiting the time when the church that we support, believe in, will be claimed by the one who has bought her by his own precious blood. If you're still here in 1 Timothy, let's go back to chapter 3. I'd just like to get two verses there at the end of the chapter, verses 15 and 16. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the seeing of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. The last, certainly not least, that I have here as a point is that we support the church because she is the bride of Christ. She is the bride of Christ. All who have been born again, been baptized, and that's walking in truth, living a life of righteousness, doing the Lord's will, are presently a part of the bride of Christ. You and I this morning, we are a part, small part howbeit, but we're a part of the bride of Christ. Consider it a young man as he looks at his bride to be. He has interest in no other. His love and admiration is fixed. He desires her to be chaste, pure, of finest Christian character. He would lay down his life for her. He wants her to be with him forever. And so it is with our Lord. All this and more Christ has done and is doing and will do for us. And so he desires that more would be added, that his bride would be enlarged. He desires that of us, that we would be living, would be speaking of him. He has left instruction to the church. I mentioned Matthew 28. The parallel verse to that is in Mark 16, 15, and the first part of 16. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So whether it's in our local communities or whether it's abroad, our lives, our lips need to proclaim the interest of our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming again. He is coming again for his bride someday. We say we believe in the imminent return. That means it could happen today. It could happen now. He is coming for his bride. Let's be ready for the next great event to happen upon the face of the earth. I'll close with this verse from Revelation 21:2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Friends, we don't want to miss it for the world. Take note of those last three words, for the world. There are folks who have sold out to the world, and they're going to miss it. Let's not miss it for the world. Shall we kneel to pray?